are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome.
Oh, that was good evening, but this is hi. Hello, everyone. Hi, James. You want to introduce yourself to everyone?
How are you doing? I'm James Rich.
It feels like we've been gone, but it was 1 week. It's Thanksgiving, and I hope everyone had a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving with family and friends. And now we're moving into the Christmas festive time. But we were talking about 6 and 7. We were finishing up 6 and 7, and one of the things is the actual transformation, you know, from 1 to 5 is the turning, you know, the renewing of the mind, knowing that God's will and who he is and accepting his will in our life and knowing him and receiving him as our Lord and Savior. And then when we do that inventory of the resentments, fears, and harms done, sex harm, intimate relationships it's really God designed us to produce. So it's our productive ability, and when we're not in harmony with ourselves, with God and another human being or life in general, then we can't produce properly. So that's why we do that one. And 6 and 7 is the actual applying God's word, who he is, his will, his way into our lives. So the old man is dead, the new man is alive, and we start to walk in the spirit with the new man, with who we are, who he created us to be in his image and likeness. And 6 and 7 is that transformation. It's when we have a shortcoming or when our flesh wants to rise above our spirit, we speak to our flesh. We speak the word of God and we cast down all things that want to exalt itself above God and his will for our lives.
So, amen.
Amen. Amen. So, and before we get into 8 and 9, because now that we've been transformed and we understand forgiveness because we've received God's forgiveness, we forgive ourselves. 8 and 9 is writing the list and going out, and 4, which is to give, you know, forgiving people God's love and his forgiveness. So, and by asking for theirs. So we have to get to a place where we forgive people first. So that's what 1 through 5 is about, and 6 and 7. It's about changing and taking ownership and realizing that we need to forgive everyone that even harmed us, because if we don't practice that, it's going to be very hard to ask for forgiveness. So we were talking about heavenly virtues versus worldly vices the last meeting before Thanksgiving. And we were talking about morality, the principles concerning the distinction between right and wrong or good and bad behaviors, and vices or moral depravity or corruption, moral fault or failure, habitual, usually trivial defects or shortcomings like sexual immorality. Those are vices. And we talk about these things in all so far throughout even the big book, but the Bible talks about all these things. And as we get to walk through this with God, because 1, 2, and 3 is receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, receiving the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and teach us as he did Jesus when Jesus was here on earth. Now we are the flesh on earth that that God wants to operate through us here on earth, his will, his way, Father God. So just as Jesus walked, the Holy Spirit teaches us to walk.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we want to be in God's image and likeness just as Jesus was. And yes, we're not perfect like he is, but he makes us perfect in him. So we can walk righteously. Praise the Lord. So wickedness is the quality of being evil or morally wrong. Iniquity, sin, anything that goes, anything that goes against God's word, his will, his directions, his commandments, his values, his virtues, his character is sin, is fleshly, the world, it's broken, and it's worldly goods. And we don't want worldly goods. We want God, heavenly goods, his goodness. So we started with humility versus pride, and we said humility overcomes the sin of pride, thank God. And we talked about some, I'm going to go over the first few quickly. And you can always, I don't know if you can, if it's available on, so let me just, I think we might have to redo some of it. So humility is selfish, selflessness, recognizing that skills, talents, and all good qualities are gifts from God. And pride is loving and esteeming oneself above others and above God. The root of all sin, right, is pride. So, and we talked about how humility overcomes the sin of pride. So in 6 and 7, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to say, okay, God, how can... keep me humble in this situation, because we feel our pride wanting to rise above the situation. And we ask God for guidance, and he has scriptures. So Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. So if I humble myself and go and present myself to God and ask him, ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me in whatever situation it is where I want to be right or be better or whatever it is that my pride wants to dictate, I ask the Holy Spirit to teach me and lead me into all truth of humility. What does it look like? His word. Go ahead, James. You want to say something?
We're going to be humble right now and pray.
Oh,
Father, without you, we can do nothing. So, Father, we ask you to just guide us in this and open people's hearts.
Yes, Lord.
And show us what to speak in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And that's right there, a practice of humbling ourselves. Amen. And sometimes when you don't know what to say, just pray in the Spirit. So we talked about generosity versus greed. Generosity is giving of time, talents, and gifts freely, realizing that no material thing is more important than God and what he's offered, the things that he supplies for our life, for what we need in order to fulfill his plan and purpose in the situation or in the assignment. Every day is an assignment from God if you go to him. And he'll show you during the day where he needs you, what he needs you to say, what he needs you to give, where he needs you to be. And then verse greed, and that's desiring material things to excess, placing too much importance on possessions. And generosity overcomes the demonic character, the sin of greed. So when I'm wanting things for myself or trying to hide things or protect things for myself, I have to, that's when I need to give the most. Find something, even if it's anonymously, even if it's time. It doesn't always have to be monetarily. Maybe it's the thing that you're coveting that you purchase and give to somebody. I mean, that's a great act of generosity. Right, James?
Yes, amen.
Amen. So, I mean, those are little ways I'm sharing.
About
that, right? Those are little, and that's what I was, that's happening. Those were little ways like that I had to practice getting out of myself, you know, getting out of myself, out of the way of greed. Instead of, you know, being in greed, I had to be in generosity. I get to choose every day. You do too. Every listening, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart and your soul and your spirit and in your bone marrow, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, then you have a choice every day. That's the liberty and freedom God gave us, to choose what's right. We get that ability, which is awesome. I'm no longer a prisoner to drugs or anger, and I feel like I have to do it a certain way in order to get what I want, to get the results that I want. I don't have to be the God of my life. God is the God of my life, and if I honor him and serve Him, He works things out for me, all things, for everyone listening. It's not just for me, it's for all of us. And that's the beauty of it. He gives the same measure. Everything that He wrote in His book is for everyone who receives His book, who sits with Him and listens to what He has to say through His book, too. That's how we get close to Him, by knowing Him and His word. And then we get less and less baffled when we're put into situations, or when we have to make decisions, or when we have to say something. Praise the Lord. So our lives can be filled with the yearning for material goods. Material objects can block our vision of Christ. So we want to get out of ourselves and into Him. And one of the scriptures for generosity is 2 Corinthians 9:6. It says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." And that's a spiritual law, sowing and reaping. So if you don't know that spiritual law, Google it. Got it on the Google. And you could say all scriptures that talk about sowing and reaping, loosening and binding. And then sit in those scriptures for a while. Let them meditate. Let them meditate in your mind and in your heart, penetrate your heart. And then all of a sudden you'll start speaking them and thinking about them and using them in your life, applying them in your life. And that's how 6 and 7 start to operate through you. You know, we our shortcomings, we turn them over. We ask God, we humbly ask Him to remove them and to... He's already removed everything, but He gives us a way out of temptation. So that's what I'm going to say. If we're tempted to use pride or greed, God gives us a way out through His word. So we have to go to Him and say, "God, what does Your word say on this?" And He will lead us and guide us into all truth, which is humility, giving, charity, okay? And He'll give you a word for that. And if you don't know, ask. What's Your word on? Go in the back of your Bible. There's like a library in the back of the Bible where you can look up definitions. If you want to know what greed is, I'm sure some Bibles have the word greed, and then they'll give you some scriptures. Or if you want to know what giving, you know, charity, look up charity in the back of the book. That's how we can utilize our time with the Lord. That's how I do it. And I've done it in the past, and He's grown. It's grown in that way with me and Him. So we talked about chastity versus lust. And chastity is temperance, purity in conduct, and intention, morally pure. And lust is feeling a sensual desire for something, coveting, hunger, thirst. When we're hungering, we're designed to hunger and thirst for Him. The problem is we're hungering and thirsting for the things that we see, we hear, we smell, we taste, rather than Him, the spiritual things. You know, that our heart hears, sees, and smells. We don't have to see them, hear them, taste them in the natural, but we know them in the spiritual. That's what God wants us to walk by spirit, so that when we do manifest into the natural, it's His will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. So chastity overcomes the sin, the character, the nature of demonic demons' character, right, of lust. Everyone could use more chastity in a world that is constantly displaying sexual images, even coveting over products online, the way we look, all these things, titles. These are the things that cause us to stumble and fall. All right? The Bible tells us that our body is a temple. So we want to be mindful.
A temple of God.
It's a temple of God, correct. It's a temple. We choose if we want it to be for God, how we live, right? But the devil will come in too if we're choosing to live, you know, curse, drink.
I never thought about that. The devil's temple. More, you're the devil's more, temple.
Yeah. More people. Well, we're not in the right house for sure. You know? So.
A lot of critters sneaking into the temple.
Yeah, that's right. We don't need them taking over those rooms, those in our mansion. Hallelujah. So chastity is goodness. And 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. And it goes on. But you see, that's your sanctification, that you stay pure and set apart. Praise the Lord. All right, let's see. Then we talked about meekness. We ended with this, I believe. Meekness and anger. And then we have more to go, so we'll continue more in detail. Meekness, acting with patience, mercy, and charity when resolving conflict. Patience, long-suffering in spirit of conflict, especially those caused by others. When things are going haywire, or there's a storm, and you can be still and know that the Lord is with you, just like the wave should.
Then, yeah, not having to defend your position, amen. And not having to make your point.
Amen.
And meekness is not weakness, because the meekest guy in the land was Moses,
mm-hmm.
which meekness is humility, but he wasn't no Joe Milquetoast.
Right.
Everybody wasn't pushing him around. I mean, he wasn't afraid.
Right.
I've shared before, the first time I taught, I had so much fear of man. I was so nervous. And a lady came up afterwards, "That was so good. You're so meek." I was like, "That wasn't meek. That was fear." Because we make it like a meek little scared guy. And a meek guy is he's humble, but he's not afraid of
He's
me.
Bold.
Yeah.
In a humbling way. Yes.
Yeah. He doesn't exactly. have to defend himself.
Amen. Amen. And that's really hard, you know, to stay still, stay quiet, even when, you know,
but
you're
then
right.
We get these trials that make us not care so much about the flesh. And then you're doing real good, like, oh, that stuff will never bother me again. Then 6 months later, yeah. you're back in it. Oh, they like said this. I'm like, I didn't care for 6 months. How'd I get back over here?
Amen.
They're always trying to get back in.
Amen. So, and anger is acting in hostility or desiring revenge caused by stressful or frustrating situations. So either you have a choice. Either you're going to be meek or you're going to be in anger. And meekness overcomes the sin of anger. The sin, the flesh of what, you know, the fleshly choice to be angry. Or you can be spiritually meek like Jesus Christ. And it says, Jesus did say, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the world." Praise the Lord. When he was confronted by angry crowds who wanted to torture and kill him, he prayed for them. And that's one of the big things we do. Like if I'm feeling, you know, like you were saying, James, where something's bothering me that was maybe in the past or something, I either I'll pray by myself or I'll call sometimes James and I or another person, you know, several other people that I know, and I'll say, I like to pray. You don't have to say a person's name or the situation's name. You know, I've been dealing with something going on in my life, you know, with two people. My son is one of them and another person, but I don't need to say the other person's name when I'm in conversation. I don't have to disclose
someone
else. Right.
Joseph Amen. Thought Mary had sex before yeah. marriage,
uh-huh.
said he sought to put her away privily, which privately.
Yeah.
In other words, he didn't want to ruin her reputation.
Amen.
He wanted to protect her.
That's right.
So
yeah.
we don't want to get into accusation.
Yes.
If you start saying, well, this person, this or that, this, you're going right into spirit accusation.
Amen.
Then you're just opening doors, and then you're never going to get out of it either.
Right.
You'll be going around the same thing mm-hmm. 10 years from now.
Amen. So meekness in Proverbs 19:11, God says, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. Like you were saying, James, that's what meekness is about, is overlooking. Go ahead.
I'd just like to share Kenneth Hagin, who mm-hmm. I really look up to.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
He had a guy from his church come over, and he had a 10, 11-year-old son, Kenneth Hagin did, and the guy was talking about people in church. And he has said, "Sir, I'm going to have to stop you because my son thinks everybody in our church is a perfect angel. I've never said one derogatory thing about anybody in our church." Imagine that.
Amen.
All them years, he never spoke one word against anyone Amen. In his household or anywhere.
That's good.
You know, he just prayed for him.
Amen. And in
That's
Psalms,
it
is powerful. Psalms 37:11 says, "But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity." Praise God. And I have to say, through my own experience, and I'm not perfect, but there was a situation in my life where I had to make a decision. Was I going to participate in, you know, back and forth stuff, or was I going to just be still, be quiet, and, you know, sit with the Lord and let him work in my heart, believe me.
Yeah, and I've watched you grow in that.
Amen.
Tremendously.
Amen.
Because you were, when I met you, from hard. Where you are now, I mean.
Yeah.
Because now you're.
Especially when you were, I was,
so
not
good
anymore.
At not wanting to retaliate back or anything.
He's God. You know, Italian, hot-blooded, yeah. New Yorker. You know,
I'm gonna,
I want to burn people
to
at the stake. Yeah, I'm taking people down, blowing up cities. But not today. No, today.
You know, the when David was running from Absalom, mm-hmm. when he'd taken the kingdom over, he had a group of men with him, and they were going down the road. And when you're in a kingdom Sorry. Like that, see, we vote people in, but the king, nobody says anything, even if you're under King Jong-Yu, whatever, because they will chop your head
That's
off.
That's right.
I mean, there's no leeway. They did whatever he says, mm-hmm. just like, that's why he chopped John the Baptist's head off, because a lady just asked. And
he has to be by his word.
But there was a guy beside the road yelling slanderous thoughts at him, and they were running from and hiding out, but they were on their going down the road. And one of his men drew a sword and was going to chop his head off.
Yep.
And David, who had a lot of wisdom, praise God, he said, "Don't touch that man. Who knows that God will not hear his lies and bless me because of them."
Amen. Amen.
So if he retaliated, he knew God wasn't going to. So as we walk in love, when people Amen. Speak against it, God handles all that.
Yes, he does.
Yes, we may be getting blessings in other areas Amen. We don't even realize are because the way we're walking over in this area and not answering back or whatever.
Amen. So we left off at this point, and it's kindness versus envy. Kindness is hoping the best for others. Brotherly love. And this is step 8, basically. You know, selfishness, a concern for selflessness, a concern for others' well-being. And that's what kindness is about. Envy is resenting others for their gifts, qualities, or possessions. Desire to have someone else's qualities, gifts, or possessions. So kindness, when we're feeling envious, and I'm going to speak for myself, but I've felt envious in my life, you know, and sometimes I have to check that because, you know, we have people in our lives, like exes, that, you know, sometimes it appears that they're doing something better or, you know, in areas of the life because we are looking with our eyes or hearing with our ears or, you know, and I can get caught up in that. And I have to humble myself in front of the Lord and say, God, if you're born again, there's nothing more that
Do you know how many people are hurting financially, look at their exes.
That's what I'm
who
saying.
Are not even saved. And
yes,
saved
that's
and,
what I'm saying.
I know.
Oh, hallelujah.
You're good at battling it, but
yeah,
it does
amen.
Get to you. But it's not just you. A lot of people.
That's what I'm. Thank you, Lord.
Have that. And yeah. But if you can just, what's that word, scripture in Proverbs? It says.
That's why I focused on. Let me talk.
The
to
little
myself.
That a righteous man has is far greater than the riches of many wicked.
That's right. Because, you know, if you're in the wicked, then you're not with the Lord anyway. And I have to remember.
Saying, amen. These people, all these rich people in the world, they're going to be burning in hell forever.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, and I pray
should be feeling sorry for them, not like,
amen.
Look what they got.
That's right. Amen. And I pray for all those people, all of them. Okay, so where were we? Kindness overcomes the sin of envy. Our love for someone should be without bias or spite. God blesses each of us in different ways. Envy will cause a rift in your relationship with God and others. Look upon your life with positivity rather than counting the ways God hasn't blessed you. Hallelujah. Kindness in Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted." I love when they talk about the heart, like stone-hearted, tender-hearted, because it's different positions of the heart that we need to pay attention to where our heart is at. What position am I in? You know, soft-hearted, loving-hearted. So forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And this is so important, because when we do step eight, we're going to be making a list of people we have harmed and become willing to make amends to them. If I'm walking around with unforgiveness in my heart, it doesn't make any sense. That's why we need to do 4, 5, 6, and 7. Because by the time we're at 8, we should be forgiving. We should understand forgiveness and be at a place where we forgave a lot of people in that resentment list and the harms done, because we take ownership to our part in it. If we're going around, you know, not forgiving them and asking for forgiveness, it doesn't make any sense. It's like an oxymoron, right? I mean, how could I ask somebody, if I'm mad at you and I'm going to say, forgive me, please, but I'm still holding on to something against you? It doesn't. God says, put it down. If that person has aught against you, you go to them. But before I can go to them, I got to understand that I got forgiveness in me, and I'm the one that understands forgiveness. And it's a different heart posture when we go and ask for forgiveness, because we already know we've given forgiveness. We've received forgiveness from God first. And we have to forgive ourselves, because every time I don't forgive myself, or I beat myself up, or I want to be guilty or shameful, I'm saying to God, you don't forgive me.
I have a lady that called me, this is like 20 years ago, but she said she's going to go over and ask her mom to forgive her. I said, okay, just don't expect her to ask you to forgive her. Oh, I'm not. And I went on that conversation probably 15 minutes. She's not going to ask you. No, I'm not doing. And she calls me afterwards. I went over there and she did not say anything about it. I'm like, I told you she wasn't going to. Yeah, but I thought she would. I'm like, why'd you do it? You know, are you really forgiven? Or?
Amen. Amen. You got to check. That's why God wants us to check our hearts before we do it. It's the motive of the heart, the position. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So, fruit of the Spirit, kindness. And what's kindness? Hoping the best for the other person. Brotherly love. Selflessness.
Long-suffering.
Yep. A concern for others' well-beings over your own. Okay, and what's envy? The word says in Proverbs 14:30, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So
Proverbs 14:30 causes osteoporosis.
Amen. Right? Arthritis, yeah. All these things that cause our bones.
Unless arthritis and forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
Envy
causes our bones
osteoporosis.
To, okay. And it causes our bones to be affected. The Bible tells us that. So the Bible.
And we got testimonies, many.
Yes, we do. Amen.
People that were healed by doing, coming out of envy. And
amen.
After 30 years of can't even walk with a walker, hardly.
Praise
being
God.
Totally healed like a teenager. So.
Hallelujah.
For repenting of envy, coming to understand it.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And Job 5:2 says, for wrath kills a foolish man, and envy slays a simple one. So. We want to, I hope, you know, if you want this list, you can call me 631-745-7980. I'll say again a little later my number. This is Kingdom Recovery listening to, and we're on WCNO 89.9. I have the list. I've done a study with the Lord. And we've been doing this list for a few years, and it really is effective with people. You know, when you get to see the difference and you have a choice, you get to choose. And when you have this information, it's easier to walk it out, to walk out what you need to walk out with the Lord. So we're on, go ahead, James, I'm sorry.
Just even forgiveness, because the anointing, I mean, the Lord, when you forgive,
amen.
You really open up this, you know, just... You know about the 1,000 talents. I've said a million times on here, but he was throw him, his wife, his children, and everything he owns, all your finances, everything, the enemy, you're
gets affected by
him.
It. Mm-hmm.
And so forgiveness is just so huge.
Amen.
Forgiveness and fear cause most, about all the disease.
That's
most
right.
Of them.
And why would we have to do in step four, resentments is unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And fears is the second one. We can't produce if we have unforgiveness and fears. So that's why the third one is relationships, harms done to others, sexual immorality. All that is what causes bad growth. Okay? So if we have unforgiveness, resentments, and fears, we can't grow properly in the kingdom. So God wants us to walk as the new man identity, not who we used to be, but who we are in him.
Yeah, just bitterness, even though it's a tormenting thing in your head, it keep you up, but fear starts really affecting you mentally, things mm-hmm. with you and your chemicals and, you know, schizophrenia,
well,
all kinds of stuff.
It could also cause you to make decisions based on fear that are irrational and cuckoo crazy. All right? I know someone out of fear.
Well, I was on the phone out here sitting in the parking lot with a guy, his sister just... He explained it to her. They're Christians. His dad got healed last week of his back. And then when he went to shave the next day, he was on a walker. He was bad. His grandfather. And he went to shave and he realized he had to hold his arm up. His arm was healed. And then he realized his neck was healed. And he had his cancer on his ear and it was black. And he might have burned it off. And he looked in his ear, had brand new skin on it.
Praise
the black was totally gone. So then they really accept the Lord in this Bible study. I met him going to this Bible study.
Yeah.
And he was explaining to his sister about fear, how it causes high blood pressure, ACTH, makes your blood vessels shrink. And she realized when the fear came in, and she waited, let the medicine wear off, and her blood pressure is 118 over 60-something. And he said it's never been that low.
Praise God. And, you know, we have people in our group who have been on meds that walk through in faith that fear of, oh, my God, what if I need this or whatever it is, you know, relying on certain things. And they're fine. I'm one of them, too. But we do have other testimonies of that, too, in our own, you know, the groups that we do in Kingdom Recovery and Coffee with Christ. We have so many women and men that have experienced transformations and just by fear, because they do the work, you know, the fourth step and the fifth step, and unforgiveness. It's a big one. You know, we think it's so cunning, unforgiveness, and it says it's the number one offender, resentments. You know, it'll kill you. That's what it says in our literature in AA, in 12
steps. Well, it causes cancer.
Yeah.
Not 100% cancer, but like 80-some percent or 90% of it.
Yeah.
And I see so many people I pray with couldn't get healed or get them to forgive, and it's gone the next day.
And if you are somebody listening and you're identifying or you're thinking, I wonder, or, you know, what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, just ask God to show you if there's anyone in your life that you might be offended by, or you have an offense, or you might have done harm to them. That unforgiveness needs to be addressed, and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, whether it's in a dream like your mother had, whether it's, you know, just you're driving and all of a sudden a name comes up. I mean, I've had people come up in my mind when I was like 10. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta, you know. And I sometimes you're able to say you're sorry directly to the person, but sometimes it's just a matter of you and the Lord repenting, rebuking, renouncing, and moving on and receiving his love and forgiveness.
And always be open to, if you're praying with someone,
yes,
God will give you a thought of a name. Like a guy had a blood clot, and we were praying, and a big stick out like a half a golf ball on his leg, and he's on the way to the hospital. I told him to stop by the shop and praying. I said, everybody pray for a word of knowledge, and Jason was there. I thought he would get it, you know, because he gets some things. Nobody's getting nothing. I just had the thought, Cody, and I was like, and then the spirit of fear always jumps on me when I get something from the Lord, like, oh, that's stupid. Don't say that. Like the world's going to come apart if I say this and it's wrong, you know, and I didn't. It was just a thought. I was like, thank God. Then nothing was working. Then I was like, the name Cody don't mean anything, does it? And he's a big old guy, 300 pounds. He just bent straight over, bawling, heaving. And I was like, oh my God, I almost missed that because I wasn't going to say it.
Amen.
And just last week, same thing. I was praying with a girl, just show who she needs to forgive. And a lady, I didn't know her, but said, does the name such and such mean anything? Oh, I think she said her sister-in-law or daughter-in-law.
Praise
God. I forget,
God.
But it was.
Praise God. God is faithful. He will. Well, he says we lack because we don't ask. If we're asking, especially with that kind of heart, like, we want to serve you, Lord. Reveal to us what this person might need. He knows what that person needs. I don't know what other people need. Sometimes I say something and everybody's like, oh, that was exactly what I needed. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you were going to come today. You know what I mean? Like, praise the Lord.
And the enemy will make you not want to, if you're the one not forgiving, if you're the one that's helping someone else, God will show you, give you that, but it's the enemy will make you feel like, what if I'm wrong? Just say the name, such mean anything. Say, oh, it just comes to my head. Yep. It's no big deal. Because I did not feel like either one of them were the Lord, you know, but it just kept staying on me. I kept seeing someone's face that had the same name. I'm like, okay.
Amen. Yeah, and that's a way that you might get it. You might see someone you know his face, and that's the name you need to say. Amen. Exactly. So, like, even if you're helping someone or you're here, maybe somebody else is praying and you're there. You're not there by accident, and you get a person comes up in your mind. You might want to say, during your prayer time, this came up, I heard this in me. Does this make any sense to you? And because God's going to use who's ever listening, he's going to use you when he wants to get a message to somebody. I always tell people when I meet somebody, there's no coincidences. God divinely appoints these things. If we're serving him and we put him first and say, okay, God, you brought me here. What would you have me do here? Could be a funeral. Amen. Right? So the next thing is diligence versus sloth. So diligence is following God's will, even if it means sacrificing comfort. And I didn't plan this. This is the way it goes down. Holy Spirit. The attention and care legally expected or required of a person, giving a degree of care required, firmness of purpose, perseverance, hard and careful work, mentally, physically, and spiritually. That's what diligence is. It means hold fast, stay endurance. It's the race. Be diligent, obedient, and stand and have the endurance to keep persevering. It's perseverance. Sloth is denying God's will for the sake of comfort. Avoiding, so you see, it's not only just doing nothing, sloth, it's denying God's will for the sake of my comfort. Well, I don't want to do that. That doesn't sound like that would be fun. No way. So, and God is calling us to do it. Like sometimes it's as simple as answering the phone. and I have to say, especially what's been going on, I knew, I was like, I have to answer all these calls because I wanted to be alone. I wanted to isolate. And it was like, nope, I have to get out of myself. Amen. So diligence, let me just make sure. Comfort, avoiding laziness. Oh, so it also means avoiding either spiritual, mental, or physical work. Laziness, habitual unwillingness to work or make any effort. That's what sloth means, okay? Diligence overcomes the sin of sloth. The virtue of diligence aids us in fulfilling our duties and cultivating, which is such a big word that God has been really, because what we're doing is we're cultivating diligence. So we're changing the seed from the Adam seed to God's seed. God did that for us when we got born again, right? But we still want to stay in the wrong field of our heart. We want to go in that field where, sloth is or whatever. We have to go, and if I don't water diligence, it cannot grow. God can't grow it in us because we're not willing to water, plant, sow, all those things that God talks about in his book, the Word of God, about kingdom farming, what a king does. We are kings of our territory. God has appointed us to be kings and queens of our territory. We're his children. When we're in his presence, we're his prince or princess. But when he's sending us out, we are kings and queens of the territory of our heart.
Self-pity will make you loathe and sloth.
And sloth.
And just want to sit back. And then it'll try to get you to reach out to worldly comfort things, like eating,
drinking,
watch some movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually get worse and worse.
On TV.
And then you get in a word, even though it feels like you don't want to.
Shut it down.
Self-pity is so good. It takes, I'm just saying good because it has more Christians than any other spirit I know of. And I can't seem to, years and years, they just still go in it. I don't understand it. I mean, I'm not saying anybody gets attacked with it, especially if somebody dies or your spouse leaves.
Yeah, no,
but
it's, yeah.
At getting attacked with it and just willfully going down that road when you're doing okay for no reason, it just, why don't you rebuke it, you know?
Amen. And you know, when this event happened
people
in my life.
People that understand it, I'm saying.
Yeah. When this event happened in my life, God was with me the whole time. You know, he's always with me, even now. I'm just saying, during that time, I knew that with all my heart. But there was a moment where God was like, you know, because there's a mourning that can occur when something alters in your life, big, dramatic, quickly. And I had a decision to make, and God did this. He said it to me as I was laying there. He said, you have a choice. You can mourn with me, or you can mourn on your own in the world and go down a path of depression. Mourn will grow, just like sorrow. It'll grow into whatever field I choose to water, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And as I water the field of godly sorrow, mourning the way God wants to, you know, have this situation pass with you know, me mourning. Because mourning is not only someone dying, it's someone not being in your presence for a while. Or, you know, and you're mourning the thing that's no longer there for, even if it's temporary, there's a mourning. But because I did a study on it too, because I was like, okay, God, with this word, I gotta know what you mean by this word, you know, because we always think depression is bad all the time. Depression, being depressed, he wants to press us down, shake us, and you know, we can do it under his will, his wing, or we could do it the way the world calls us to do it, the way I used to do it, which is isolation, self-pity. Then maybe, you know, fantasizing about, not, thank God, because, you know, I choose not to drink, not because of anything that I feel, you know, I'm inflicted of, but because I serve the Lord, you know, fear of the Lord. I don't want to compromise that. But that can come in if I let my guard down. You know, I'm not immune to it, because the devil, he's going to do what he's going to do to anybody. It's not, well, that's Luann, I'm going to leave her alone. No. If I choose to go down and keep watering that field of my heart, then that's the field that's going to expand. I want to expand the God's will territory, his kingdom in my heart. So I chose to be with him. I chose to read my word. I chose to do things like when you're fasting without having a face of, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe I'm, you know, I got to do all the, I had to be full of joy. I had to show up in the territories that I needed to be, what I needed to be for the Lord in those territories, whether it was worship or whatever. And it was hard some days, but we have to make these decisions. They're choices. That's my liberty today, my freedom.
Yeah, and if you had like a child that lived overseas and you haven't even seen them in 4 years, and then you got a message they died, and what you go through the next, imagine going through like 2 months of torment, you can't work, and what goes on in your body, and that even a lot of times, when people get something like cancer or something, they had a devastating thing like a year before, their immune system shuts down. And then you get a message that, oh, that wasn't your son, it was someone with the same name. So nothing even really happened, but you go through the same thing spiritually, because the enemy is so on top of those situations.
Yes.
And if you can just understand and do the battle try and stay out of that stuff that attacks you.
Amen.
I mean, I've had too many people that, like a loved one died a year, I mean,
and
a day
still,
or,
yes, sorry, it's so sad to watch.
7 days earlier, they're crying on the phone, ours already doing deliverance. And I said, well, spirits come in on top of this stuff, and I know you feel bad, let me just pray. And I just named a bunch of them and put self-pity in there, because that's the one that attacks you in that. And they were laughing right after I told them, oh my God, I can't believe I'm, same thing when a guy's wife left 2 days later. Oh, I can't believe this. I mean, just,
amen.
And they were going on and on. So I mean, that they've been here messing with us our whole life, so it feels like us, but so much of that stuff is just not our,
it's
actual
not who
feelings
we are,
or
right?
Not stuff
it's God not
gave
thoughts,
us
right.
Then I was able to understand Job. I mean, what do you mean he went out and had another family and lived happily? How could he be happy? Because self-pity keeps you tied to the past. You never let it go, and you go on and on the rest of your life.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And I know people who are still mourning not living. You know, they've taken the mourning and applied it to their own life, that death or whatever it is.
There's probably people mourning
so
30
sad.
Years yeah. ago their pet
We
died.
Just pray for all those people right now in Jesus' name, that they hear the Holy Spirit, that, Father, we know that you're doing a work in even everyone's heart. All the time you're always, chasing after us, trying to get our attention. So I just pray that you send your laborers to those people if they don't know you, and your saints and your angels, all the angels, to go and minister and lead them and guide them towards you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we command all self-pity, all depression. Yes. That's just the one that causes suicide and depression, to leave these people in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Because right now, ones that deal with it.
Especially the holidays.
Saying, you don't know what I'm going. Yeah, it really attacks around the holidays. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Biggest.
So we'll probably
I didn't think about
saying that a lot for the
it's
next couple of weeks.
Manifesting a lot of people right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, my mom has been a year and a half, I think, something like that, since she died.
And most of these people would want them to live and enjoy life, because they're having, especially if they're with Jesus.
Right. I mean, she's. I know where she is.
The last thing she would want you to do. Exactly.
People are like, well, you're going to mourn. You're going to go through it. Y'all were together so long. And I'm like, I didn't have it.
Praise the Lord.
But I did understand, if I felt that, what it was.
Amen.
Amen.
So diligence overcomes the sin of sloth. The virtue of diligence aids us in fulfilling our duties and cultivating a strong worth ethics. That's where we ended off. Sloth draws us in to be lazy in all aspects of our life. Physically, spiritually, and mentally, right? We should develop our talents and gifts rather than keeping them wrapped up in sloth, self-pity. Amen. So if you take a hobby, do something where you're gifted, you're talented, or write, to put it down, get it out. That's why we write a list of all people we have harmed, so that it's not floating around in our head and we're keeping this thing in our head. Because sometimes when we keep things like that in our head, they get all jumbled and, the lies start trying to come in. Well, you really didn't hurt that person that bad or whatever. Put it on paper, because when you do, you commit to that.
I just want to say, since we are in the season, that that spirit, it keeps you tied to the past, constantly brings up the past bad things in your life. Keep you meditating, and Paul said, I forget those things which are behind and press forward towards our mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So anything from the past, depression, let the past go.
That's right.
It's not just letting it go, though, because there's a spirit bringing it up. You got to understand and battle, not letting your mind go there.
That's the letting go. Let your mind let go of that. Take captive your thought. Bring it to, right. Bring it to the Lord and let him tell you. That's not me. Nope.
See, unforgiveness gives him a right, though. So then you got to submit to the Lord. That's what they do. They submit to the devil and resist the devil. And he doesn't flee.
Yeah.
Because they're not submitting to God.
Right.
Submit to God. Forgive your neighbor.
That's right.
Love your enemies. And then resist the devil. And he will flee.
Amen. So diligence in Proverbs says, Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. He'll have more work and more work and more work, and he'll always feel like he's working and working and working. 2 Peter 1:5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. That is, right there, cultivating. So for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. So that's why we want to cultivate diligence, and you'll get virtue, the faith virtue, and knowledge, virtue of knowledge. Sloth in Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness, a hand of hands, the house leaks. Because you're not doing it. God wants us to be our most excellent way. He's going to supply everything we need for that situation, for that way. If he's calling us to build something or to do something or whatever it is that he calls us to do, he's going to give us everything that we need to fulfill, to make it perfect to him, to the way he needs it to be. Okay? That's why diligence is important. We have to take our time. Proverbs 18:9 says, he who is slothful is in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. Now we'll talk about temperance and gluttony. First, gluttony. Temperance is taking all things in restraint and to the point of goodness. That's where we want it, even our thoughts, right? In thoughts, actions, and feelings. And then gluttony is habitually consuming to an excess. Overindulgence of food, drink, wealth, items, particularly as status symbols, can be seen as a sign of a country or position. You want to be diplomat, whatever, right? Or a person, wealth, something, even it, that's eating us. Like, it's literally gluttony is eating us, whether we think we're eating it, it's eating us alive. And so if I'm looking for more and more and I'm never satisfied, it's consuming me, even though I think I'm consuming it. Okay, so that's what happens with gluttony. Temperance overcomes the sin of gluttony. Gluttony wants us to give into our self-gratification for eating and drinking, among other things. And people know what they are. It could be binge-watching TV. Why do they call it binge-watching? You know, sometimes if you get caught up in that, pause whatever it is and read. Open the Bible and just start reading a couple of scriptures, a couple of paragraphs, and just break it up. And eventually, you'll stay in that a little bit more, and you'll break up that binge. That's how you can break that chain. Okay, because God's word will help you with that. Temperance is our ability to control ourselves and these desires, the desires of gluttony, the things that make us want to gratify our flesh. Okay, we may fall into the trap of self-indulgence, but during these times, we can call upon the virtue of moderation. That's what I'm saying. So that's a way to say, wait, I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to pause this right now. Get up, even if you don't pick up the Bible right away, okay? If that's not what you do, get up and pause the show and do some different activity for a moment and then come back. I like to keep the Bible with me, or, you know, it's usually near wherever I have like a snack table. And I keep literature. Sometimes it's, you know, other books too that I'm reading, a little pamphlet, an article. That's, you know, for me, I only read things that are scripture based. So, but if you're reading something, break it off. That's how you break it. You stop doing it for a moment and you break it. So temperance in 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's looking for people who are weak, who he can take advantage of, that he can devour. But if you're being vigilant, if you're sober-minded is being of sound mind. All right, it's not only not drinking. Sober-minded is knowing, is being sound to who God is, what his will is, right, and knowing it. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Sound mind has a lot to do with temperance. Praise the Lord. Gluttony, Proverbs 23:19-21 says, hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. So all of the sins stem from one. It doesn't matter what I'm trying to say is they're all deadly. There's not a size of a sin. There's not a color. It's a little white lie. Sin doesn't have color. They don't have sizes. Sin is a sin. Now, is there mercy? Different levels of mercy for the individual and their relationship with God? Absolutely. But I can't say, I was just having this conversation with one of my daughters. I can't say if I'm lying or cheating on things and lying, and someone says that, you know, they're gay, or what's the difference? A sin is a sin, right? We got to love that person and pray for that person to come out of that kind of behaviors. Even myself. Yeah.
There is, it says in the Bible, there's a sin unto death and then there's not a sin unto death. I would not that you pray for one that's in a sin unto death, but a sin that's not unto death, pray for them.
Yes, amen.
I think you can deal with the sin, though. If they're doing a sin that's causing a sickness that's killing them,
yeah,
deal with the sin and then pray for the sickness.
Amen, amen. So so we're not going to start step eight today. We'll start that next week because we finished the virtues and worldly vices.
We got a minute left.
We do have a minute left.
So you could do eight.
But we will. We have 1 minute left. So do you want to say anything, James? You want to pray or?
Yeah, we'll just pray. I just want to say, I wanted to read some if I have time. Just scripture. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the mystery of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. The mystery is revealed.
Yeah.
So, Father, I ask you to reveal yourself, reveal Christ to everyone listening.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And amen. I ask you, move mightily. Bless them, Lord.
Yes.
We love y'all. God bless you.
Shalom, shalom. We agape you. And we'll be talking about step eight next week. And be here at 5 o'clock, Kingdom Recovery at WCNO.
I couldn't.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980. All the glory to the God of love. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Alzheimer's or dementia are terrible diseases affecting 7 million. Memory issues can be driven by the large number of medications that seniors take. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a proprietary tool that identifies drug-to-drug interactions that cause cognitive impairment and then prescribes alternatives. In the study of the Alzheimer's Treatment Center's protocol, 75% of the patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Now open in Port St. Lucie, they may be reached at ATCA.ai or 772-298-4477.